311.
Good afternoon and welcome to another 311 radio show. I'm your host for this afternoon, Senior Fire and Life and Safety Officer Andrew Taylor. I just want to thank you once again for being here with us yet another Sunday. And just let me get this out of the way early. A happy, happy, happy Independence to everyone out there. I hope you really have a wonderful Independence Day. Whatever you plan to do, obviously be safe, because we want to see you for another Independence Day and, of course, the upcoming holiday season. And yes, once again, just have a wonderful Independence Day with your conkeys, with or without raisins. I know that's a big national debate, but just really have a wonderful day. So I have with me in studio this afternoon none other than Divisional Officer Marlon Small, okay, the Fire and Life Safety Manager. Good afternoon to you, sir.
All right, good afternoon, Barbados. Good afternoon, Mr. Taylor. It's a pleasure being here this afternoon.
Thank you very
Looking
much.
Looking forward to some of those conkeys, eh?
I never said it was making any, sir.
Well, hey.
So thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend some time with us here in Radio Land this afternoon to discuss some things fire and life safety, fire prevention wise. And I would have congratulated you and the others last on this show. But once again, since you're here with me live, I want to personally once again congratulate you, sir, on your promotion. As I said last Sunday, I know that you will continue to keep up the standard that you've had as long as I've known you. So once again, congratulations to you.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. Okay, no. And I just want to say to Barbados that it's an honor, and I will continue to serve citizens with pride. So thank you.
I know I can take you on your word with that one. So we're going to get into it. So tell me from you, how does it feel making that move from the academy, where you would have been the training officer there, into this role as fire and life safety manager? And I know it's been I think it's been a steep learning curve for you, because your time was pretty short where you had to kind of, you know, get into the position. But tell me, how has the move been for you, moving from the academy setting now to the fire prevention setting as the fire and life safety manager?
Well, first, I'd like to say that it was kind of a bittersweet move. We were in the middle of a recruiting batch. And, of course, I would have taken the guys up to about 3 months and then move into fire and life safety. One of the things that I must say is, instead of preparing persons to respond, now I have a responsibility to prevent. So I'm kind of putting one group of persons out of work. Because, as you know, fire life safety is a lot to do with fire prevention and really getting on top of things to reduce the events or incidents of fire, and to really look out for the public safety.
Yes.
That safety transcends back to the department, because a safer community, a safer commercial industry, residential, whatever the case may be, means that it's safer for our officers. Even if we have to respond, we would have put those things in place to ensure that the loss of life is definitely reduced. So I see it as moving from one place to the next. I'm serving the officers, the rank and file, the Barbados Fire Service, and I'm serving the community in a different, totally different way. Yes, the learning curve was a little steep. Still learning, but I do believe that every day they learn new things, look at new ways, and you, Mr. Taylor, and the rest of the team, I think we have a good team here, and I know that coming into the team, we will have some big plans coming for Barbados and for the fire service. So yes, I look forward to going forward.
So outside of the, like you said, the learning curve, what other challenges do you foresee in your new role as fire and life safety manager?
We know that the external environment, we having the new processes, new technologies in the environment, and we have to prepare for them. We know that the country in general is transitioning to green energy. We have in our hybrid vehicles and all these other new technologies. And therefore, it is to bring that level of awareness, safety awareness, and putting those measures in place that will allow us to address these events or activities.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that Barbados was virtually closed down due to the pandemic over the last 2 years.
Correct.
And we are having a lot of major events which falls under our purview to provide that level of public safety or fire and life safety coverage for these events. And we have to make every effort to work with the public and these promoters so that we are better able to respond with the limited resources in some cases to provide that level of protection. You just raise a serious point. We're looking forward to the independence. And we know we're going to have some activities coming up.
Yes, definitely.
And the independence. We have some activities that we coming up. And again, this is another opportunity for the Fire and Life Safety Unit to share information, but put itself in readiness and the department readiness to ensure that these events are safe and persons are not placed at risk.
So you spoke about risk just now, and you know, risk is one of our favorite words. Next one being hazards. So if you can tell us, we know that we have the majority of our residential fires in St. Michael, the parish of St. Michael. Okay, and it's always been a problematic area for us in terms of the proximity of the homes and also the proximity of the residential areas to commercial businesses. Because we know for sure St. Michael has a lot of funeral homes, you know, other entities, you know, that are basically mingled within the residential areas. Are there any plans to kind of speak to these dangers or any plans from the fire service in terms of reducing some of the risks or trying to reduce the fire activity in St. Michael?
Well, that's a very interesting point. That's a good question. One of the things that we have to look at is, if I might coin a phrase from one of the activities that was done during the pandemic, seek and save.
Mm-hmm.
We probably might look at seek and prevent. But as a fire department, as a unit, we need to get out into the communities and help work with those groups within the community to identify the hazards in the community. And once we identify those hazards, we'll be able to put measures in place to reduce or eliminate them. So we need to get into those residential districts. We need to have what we call them town hall meetings with those owners and facility owners in the commercial areas also. One of those areas, you look at the Pearl Bay area where we have a residential district below a major commercial area. And therefore, as a unit, we have to get out there, identify those hazards, and look at the ways that we can ensure that both the residential and commercial can coexist in a way. And if there is an issue or an incident, that we have put all those things in place to reduce any possibility of loss of life or even reduce the possibility of the incident taking place. So public education must be critical and high on the agenda. We need to have a greater presence in the community. And one of the things that I would really like to see is a a program such as this, that we take it to the next step where we are open for live discussion, live questions, and also to have a hotline where persons at specific dates or times during the week can call in and raise their concerns.
Yes.
And so that we can get out there then to examine it and give real feedback in time.
What I can say is that I do agree with you if I'm going to the next level with the program, and even in terms of maybe podcasts, you know,
yes,
that's another avenue that we're starting to look into, and even hopefully soon maybe some TikTok videos.
Definitely, I'm looking forward to that.
Because yes, we are very much in tune with the technology and the different social media platforms here at the Fire Service. So we're definitely trying to find different ways of how to reach the public. But just following up from your point, just last week, a gentleman called and said he was listening to your show last Sunday, and he heard me mention about the derelict homes and the unoccupied houses and stuff within the districts, and how they can be an issue in terms of not just security, but also in terms of fire safety and even health issues in terms of if the home, you know, has attracted rodents and stuff like that. And so, you know, he called in because there was one in his district, a derelict house in his district, that he will basically like to see either boarded up or moved altogether. So no, we are happy that the calls are coming in, definitely, from the public. So it shows that we are reaching people, and people are becoming more aware of their surroundings, because at the end of the day, that is what saves your life, being aware of your surroundings and then being resilient, as we've been trying to push recently in our theme and everything. But also the challenge now comes on us to be able to provide the right information to people when they call about these things, and also know to partner with other ministries and how we can actually go about working on these derelict or unoccupied homes. Like, what steps can we take as a fire service, if any, to let's say, you know, if we actually get the power to say put up a do not trespass notice from the fire service or some other entity, maybe the Ministry of Health, working with us, can actually go about and put up notices on these homes to try to keep people out, and also to try to keep the community safe. So thank you very much for raising that point. So even when talking about messages, what do you think we can do as a fire service to actually reach more people? You know, we have this platform with this show. And but what do you think we can really do to reach more people with our messages of fire safety and fire prevention?
Well, that's a very good question again, and it's timely. And first, we must look at the diversity within the communities. Coming to this division, central division, I took the opportunity to traverse some of the internal area. And quickly, I got a good glimpse of Barbados. And this was in the wee hours of the morning, the best time to see the environment. And we've identified a lot of hatters in these areas, but some of these areas have a diverse audience. And therefore, how we communicate to these different audiences, it's very critical in getting the message over. One of the things that I would like to see is that there's a established program within the school setting, starting from probably primary. We know we have the stop, drop, and roll and CF program, but we need to have a educational program that goes a little further and much more in depth. And I believe that if such a program, or when such a program is created and implemented, then the knowledge base coming throughout, even if in the secondary school and also in the tertiary institutions, I would definitely see a difference in the behavior. So that is one area that we can start to look at to have a program developed. I know in some of the tertiary and higher learning institutions, in some of the programs like project management and other programs, there's a safety component where the fire service comes in and deliver a section. But I would like to see that program become ingrained into the school system. In addition to that, you spoke about partnerships. And when you speak about partnerships, we need to be able to, we have like the Barbados Employers Confederation, these other bodies that we need to reach out to and deliver the message also there. I support the use of the social media and the Benny and the, as you spoke about, the TikToks, but we have to look at getting to the persons, and we have to get on the ground also and have one-on-ones with the community, hear what their challenges are, and then we will be in a better position to build up programs that cater to the different communities. As I said, it's a task. I believe that we are at the right point in time to put these things in place. One of the programs that we have not formalized yet is where especially in the night industry, the entertainment industry at night, we have had some responses where our operational officers are going into these locations and looking at what is going on and try to correct those things that would definitely pose a fire hazard. And this is just one of the ways that getting the message out there and communicating is working. We have seen a lot of businesses who their inspections were lapsed. They now have come up to court. And I want to say to the country that look out for this in the especially coming into the Yule tide and season. We know there are specific businesses out there that have a high frequency of foot traffic.
Yes.
And we want to have that dialogue with the owners to give them some safety tips. A lot of times persons try to put a lot of stock on the floor, and therefore they have to look at that in opposition to how much space then is really available for the where customers come into the facility. So we will be looking at those things, and we'll be framing our messages depending on what the situation is. So we need to frame the message given the environment that we are going into.
Yeah, and I can definitely agree with you there, sir, because only last Friday I took a stroll through Broad Street and Swan Street, and I was already seeing the delivery trucks with lots and lots of boxes and lots of stock headed into the stores. And as the song says, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
I've seen
all the different things coming up from inside, and even going back to the Swan Street area, something that I was really concerned about. Some of the alleyways have now been basically taken by persons who are vending. And, at the end of the day, yes, we want everyone to be able to earn a living at the end of the day. But what people don't realize is that our priority is life safety.
Correct.
Public safety. And I think we really have to take a closer look at this area. And as I said, going through Swan Street on both sides, you have people on the outside of the buildings on both sides. Some of them have either tables or chairs that are close to the entrances of these buildings. And of course, for us, most of these buildings are all also one exit buildings.
Yes.
So one way in, one way out. So it's definitely something we really have to meet up with some of our partners and see how we can best go about, you know, alleviating some of these dangers that we are clearly seeing inside our city. And as I said, yes, it's only going to get busier from here out. You go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to touch on a point that you were saying, this word partnership. And I want Barbados to understand what we're saying, that we have a role, but we have to work with you to ensure, yes, because we're talking about community risk reduction and some of these mitigating ways that we will mitigate requires us to work with other agencies. So I agree with what you're saying. And what I have seen in the city, definitely we need to work with agencies, the Sanitation Service Authority, we need to work with the Environmental Protection Department, all these other agencies that have the capacity that we might not have to remedy the various situations. So I agree with you 100%. Partnership is a word that we look into 2023, we'll be talking about. And we want to have, if we call it a task force, where we have representatives from these agencies as we identify these various hazards, hazard areas, so we could come in and put things right. But we're not only putting things right, we want to make sure that after things are right, that we leave the necessary education for the communities or the commercial businesses to ensure that there's not a repeat of these situations.
Because we definitely have to do do some reviews of our plans pretty often, just to make sure everyone is following the procedures and everything set up by us. And even in terms of saying partnership with other agencies, the biggest partnership for me is with the community. So with the same vendors and stuff like that, you know, we don't want to go in there and say, hey, you have to move. We want to go and have some dialogue with them, try to explain to them why we want them to move, what why them setting up in that area is a danger, is an issue. So that we try to educate them as well. You know, so it doesn't seem as if we're just coming in heavy handed and yes, trying to move them from over there, their business area, if you want to put it that way. So definitely, as you said, sir, partnership is the key word. That may actually have to be the theme for our service week 2023.
I hope Barbados is listening. You're talking about partnerships, and the fire service is here to serve. And those partnerships are critical to what we are going to be doing and how we go forward. And just like the Fire Prevention and Code Enforcement Unit has partnerships with the operational wing of the Barbados Fire Service and the training wing.
Yes.
We need to have those partnerships with the community. And we are looking out, reach out to the Fire Prevention and Code Enforcement Unit. If you have a challenge in your community, we can, you know, they say you can get boots on the ground and we can have a look in and come up with a solution. But those solutions will be in partnership with the community, the residents, and we would be able to leave valuable information, as I said, that will ensure that even if it arises again, but we don't want those incidents to arise, that you'll be able to deal with it.
Yes. So another thing, not that people don't take it seriously, but you know, fire prevention always seems to take the back seat. Why do you think is that people don't take fire prevention seriously? Are you ready? Is that a lot of people don't really take fire prevention seriously because you know that you can go in a store and you can see 40 security cameras, as we always say here on the show. But no working smoke alarms, no fire extinguishers, nothing like that. Even some people have the idea that fire safety cannot be extended to your home, right? It's only for business spaces. So what do you think is that people don't take fire prevention seriously?
There can be a lot of reasons. There can be the economic situation where persons might want to, but don't have the economic capacity to. And as a unit, we could look at those kind of things. But again, that requires a partnership, someone to sponsor, something as simple as a smoke alarm or the warning device, so persons are alerted early and they could get out to safety or to a safe place. In addition to that, just the nature of our work and the fact that if we continue to reduce fires, some persons become complacent because the event of fires is not as frequent, and therefore persons believe, well, it ain't gonna happen. But we know different. We know different. And therefore, to have that awareness, I believe it has to come back to public education. It also has to come back to, or probably look at having drills within the community.
Yes.
So that there's some kind of physical engagement. I believe that this aspect will have to do some more planning, but how about having signage in the community? Because once there's a level of visibility, persons seeing it in their face, whether it's pictorial or words, people will respond to those kinds of messaging. So, as I said, because there's a real low frequency of sometimes certain activities, we ask ourselves, when last we had a major town fair, you know, years back, these things were much more frequent and it was more in the front of person's minds. And therefore, sometimes people become, it's not going to happen to me. But the reality is that we know a different. We've seen already where persons come home tired. And just recently, during the week, the officers responded to a fire where the young man was very tired. He was sleeping there. They were trying to get him wake up, but the saucepan left the saucepan on. That could have been an event where we could have lost a life. But equally as important, and this is in the residential environment, that if there was a smoke alarm there, that would have activated and it would have given the person the chance to get out of the home and to save a life. One of the things we wanted to say to people, that we got to be our brother's keeper. So if you see something, say something, 311 is the number.
Yes.
So again, we really have our work there, but we want to work with groups. We want to frame our messaging that is receptive based on the groups that we are speaking to. And we know that we have to do our hazard analysis and continue doing our hazard analysis within the different response areas and put things in place to prevent the advent of fire impacting on the community. But the community has to be part of that.
So words of wisdom there from Divisional Officer Small. And sir, you've only left us with a few seconds. So I want to thank you again for taking the time out to be here on the show. And once again, want to wish you and everyone else a happy independence. And just before we go, as we say on every show, fire prevention is our intention. So we will see you and hear you hopefully next Sunday for another 311 radio show. Take care.
Thank you and happy independence.
Protecting life and property.
You can depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.